All right, we are rolling. Welcome to the Palm Village Word. My name is Ken Adams, and we're getting acclimated to a new location this week. We are at Palm Village Retirement Community in Radley. This is something new, Jim Duick and Chuck Buller.
How novel that we would actually be at the place that we advertise and talk about every week on Care to You.
In the past, we have recorded, well, we recorded many, many months, actually a couple of years at the studios of KRDU in Dinuba. We'd recorded a lot in the Fresno office, and actually a few weeks ago, I was out here at Palm Village for the Fall Jamboree and was able to chat with some of the folks in attendance, chat with some of the residents. That was a lot of fun. But this is the first time we've actually plopped down and plugged all the equipment in and on the premises of Palm Village. And we're in your office, Jim Duick.
We are.
So this is where you spend your time away from home.
This is where I spend a lot of time away from home, and I enjoy it.
Good deal. It's good to be back in studio with you both again. I always feel it's funny when you take a couple of weeks off and, I don't know, got to get back in the groove of things again. So, Chuck, you were telling me that you kind of wanted to do
we want to talk about
today.
Some of the issues that people grapple with when they make decisions about where to live in their retirement years. One of the technical terms for aging is something called AIP, or aging in place. There's a movement, and you hear about it all the time on the news these days, of people, quote-unquote, wanting to stay home or age in place. Well, the reality is you can age in your place or you can age in our place. The fact is there are some predictable issues which are going to impact that decision. If we could be sovereign and know about our health in our senior years, if we could know the day that we were going to die, then those decisions would become a lot easier. I think as Jim experiences in sales all the time, and I certainly do in talking to people, it's the assumptions about that become dangerous, because people assume that they'll be healthy, they assume they'll always have enough money or not enough. Whatever the assumptions are, they kind of get in the way of some rational decision-making. We want to talk about those decisions.
Yeah, I think
today,
the further we go in life, we find out that whatever assumptions we had on many things, if not most things in life, it's like, okay, well, we can turn that upside down and shake it out.
Right. That's right. And regarding senior housing, those over the age of 65 today represent the fastest growing demographic in American society. That's because the baby boomers are beginning to turn 65.
Oh,
and
my.
That generational mix, that demographic, has shaped every American institution since it set foot on a planet in about 1946 for the first time.
Yeah,
and they will again reshape this industry.
The greatest generation came home from World War II, started having babies, and the three of us, amongst many millions of others, arrived, and we've been impacting society since. And how many of us are turning 65 every day?
About 10,000.
Every day for how?
20 years.
For the next 20
years. For the next 20 years,
that's right. That's got to be millions and millions and millions.
Lots.
Wow. Wow. And that's where you folks come in.
And it's interesting. I was just spent some time with a family just this week where there's a gentleman in his 90s still living at home alone.
Wow.
And telling everyone he was just fine and everything was going just great. And he was able to do everything for himself. And one of the things I asked was, well, tell me a little bit about your daily routine, what that consists of. And it was very consistent with what I see for many seniors, is that they get up in the morning, go from their bedroom, they go into the kitchen, they cook breakfast, and then maybe they might go back and sit and watch some TV and maybe take a nap, and then they have lunch, and then they walk around. I mean, they basically stay in their house. They really don't get out of their house much. And one of the things at Palm Village is you have an opportunity to actually do more walking, all in a very safe environment. So what this gentleman discovered and what his family saw was that he, even though he thought he was fine and everything was going great, he really couldn't walk very far without getting very, very winded and very, very tired.
Mm-hmm. I remember that was a point that Evelyn Schlusselman made on one of the past programs. She talked about getting into the living quarters and seeing for yourself what's really going on in there.
Right. And so we've all heard the expression about boiling the frog, you know, heating that water up slowly. They don't even realize they're boiling until it's too late. And I think something similar happens with many seniors as they're staying in their home. They become a little more isolated, more isolated, less active, walking less distance. And before you know it, their muscles have atrophied and they just don't have the strength and they become unstable. That's when they start to fall. Things get broken. And so one of the opportunities people have here is to walk, just even from your room to the dining room, from your room to the snack shop, from your room to the chapel area or the library, and they find they walk a whole lot more, get healthier, and get stronger.
And not only the walking issue, but, and again, there's some people that they're perfectly happy. They prefer to not to be around other people, but I don't think that's the way God wired us as human beings. We kind of thrive in community. And when folks isolate themselves, I saw this in my own mother's case. When my dad passed away, she lived hundreds of miles away, did not want to relocate down to where we were because, well, I'm just too old for that. And you don't get better when you're closed up by yourself and isolated all the time.
That's right. You don't. As a matter of fact, that came up also in this meeting with the family. And I said, well, did you used to talk to people? Oh, yeah. Had their own business. And matter of fact, probably know most of the people in the area because they were in the produce business. And this person said they saw some the other day. So I used to go and buy fruit from you. And this person didn't remember the customer, but they know a lot of people, it turns out, most often. And they just have become less and less social and more and more isolated.
Right.
And I think one of the things we're always careful of, there's kind of a new term in our culture called ageism. It's a word that's been coined to describe prejudice against people who are aging. In other words, we don't pretend that every person should necessarily be social just because they're getting old.
Right.
We don't want to discriminate against the way an older person imagines shaping their life.
Right.
What we're here to do is to say, let us show you some of the options.
Options, that's the key word.
You might decide that what you thought was going to be the outcome of a certain way of life you've always wanted to live in your senior years, something you've not done before, turns out differently than you imagined. And so we also want to be careful to respect the dignity of people who, for instance, want to stay more alone, want to be more reclusive.
Right.
Our views of what that person's life is like, it's not fair for us to judge that. We can tell you that when people sometimes wait too long to make choices about what that looks like, they and their family end up in a tougher situation when they are forced to make choices that they didn't think they were going to have to make. And I think that's kind of where we want to land today, is to talk about, you know, our respect of people's choices, their choice to live at home, to grow old at home, their choice to live in a retirement community like this. But what happens when those choices are taken from us and Medicare or Medi-Cal or Social Security or Obamacare or our children or our relatives tell us, now you need to make a new choice? Well, that only gets tougher as you get older.
Right.
And so I'd like to ask Jim, who works in sales here, you know, what are some of the choices that people are forced to make that maybe they didn't think they were going to have to make as soon as they did?
Well, usually what happens is something with regard to their health changes. With some people, they might have a stroke, and now that affects their physical capabilities. It can also affect their memory. It can affect their judgment. And now all of a sudden, they're no longer safe being on their own. And because either they're not able to make the right decisions, or they're at risk of a fall because now they're unstable. So generally, something with their health changes, now they have to do some things different for their own safety.
Right. And let's say somebody's living alone and has a stroke and, you know, goes to the hospital, and the hospital informs them that they can't live there the rest of their life. It's not going to be permitted. Medicare is not going to sign off on that. And so suddenly their family has to have a little mini conference and crisis. You know, what are we going to do with Dad? Can't go back home. None of the kids want to take him in. It's usually that health issue which forces a decision point that they didn't think they were going to have to make.
You mentioned the word options a few minutes ago, mm-hmm. and the earlier the better, because you've got more options. The scenario you just described where a decision has to be made, at that point, the options have become fewer, haven't they?
Well, as a matter of fact, let's talk about reverse mortgages, because people are presented with that on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. Through lots of different advertising.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and somebody who's kind of backed into a corner financially is presented the option of a reverse mortgage, and it feels like a way out. Well, it can be, unless what the value you have left in that home, the equity that you have, somehow doesn't last as long as you do.
Yeah,
and now you have one choice completely taken away from you. And so we think that as people age, as they hit, in particular, about 75 now, they need to really sit down with their family and their spouse if they're married, and if they're fortunate, still have their health, to really map out the next 20 years of life. It just makes all the sense in the world.
Right. How should we best use the assets we have? And that's family, house, income. Everybody has some type of an asset, even if it's friends. Friends can be an asset.
Sure. Church. And if Jim and I ran the world, we would say, make sure that you as aging people understand that your assets are first for your own care as you grow old, and not first to pass on to your children and grandchildren. Because believe us, you're really amazed sometimes at how badly people want to leave something for their kids, but at the detriment to their own well-being. It seems, well, you've worked all these years, you've accumulated whatever assets you have, and they are first for your own care.
On a humorous note, I'm reminded of, I'm sure we've all seen on the back of the RV going down the highway, I'm spending my children's inheritance.
Right. Yeah. And good for them. We have nothing against financial planning here at Palm Village, and families who want to, in fact, plan to leave something for the next generation. But as healthcare changes, as our government changes, if it does, we're going to make some hard choices in the next 20 years about how to pay for the retired life of baby boomers.
Hmm.
It could be that financial planning looks very different than it has for the last 50 or 60 years.
Yeah, there's going to be a whole lot more of we retired folks in the next 20
That's
years.
Right. And far fewer workers to support them through their direct contributions from their payroll checks.
Whether it's living at Palm Village Retirement Community in Reedley, or whether it's the newly expanded Palm Village at Home option, which we're going to be hearing a lot more about as 2013 approaches. Folks have questions, who do they call?
Well, they call us here at Palm Village. Actually, they can call Chuck or myself, Jim Duick. They can email us, palmvillage.com. Phone number here is area code 559-638-6933. We're easy to get a hold of, and we're happy to spend time talking with people and exploring what their options are. I always feel it's important. Education is important. Know what your options are.
Yeah, sometimes people are afraid to talk because they maybe think they've had some financial difficulties and don't have as many assets as they had planned on, or they don't have any assets. You know, we're not just here for the well-being of Palm Village. We're here in a mission and a ministry to seniors. And you know what? If people can't afford to move in here, if those are their circumstances, we'll be glad to point them in the direction of some places where possibly they can live.
Mm-hmm.
As a Christian organization, we believe that James, the brother of our Lord, was serious when he said that true religion has to do with taking care of orphans and widows, or widowers from our perspective. Mm-hmm. So as people age, we see it as our mission, our ministry, to help them make this transition.
You can get a hold of Chuck Bowler or Jim Duick at Palm Village in the 559 area code 638-6933, or online. Just about the entire universe is online these days at palmvillage.com.
And we have quite a bit of information on there, including floor plans with all our different levels of care, so you can get some sense and some idea of what there is.
Good deal. Jim Duick, Chuck Bowler, God bless you too.
Thank you, Ken.
Thanks for
having you with us.
Thanks for the initial recording on the premises of Palm Village Retirement Community in Reedley. And thanks for joining us for the Palm Village Word.